Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our presentation of the first half of 2018 results. Beside me today is Philip Belak, the Finance Director of EP Infrastructure. We'd also like you to refer to our press release that we've made today on our website. There you will also see the letter of our chairman, the presentation that we will do now, and the condensed financial statements for the first half 2018. I'd like to summarize the key results of EP Infrastructure for the first half of this year. EPIF continues to successfully operate its traditional energy infrastructure assets. There has been no change to our core activities, which remain transmission, distribution, and storage of natural gas, the distribution of electricity, and district heating. The core operations of EPIF have remained stable in the first half of 2018. EPIF Group consolidated sales for the first half of 2018 reached 1.57 billion euros compared to 1.6 billion euros in 2017. Adjusted EBITDA for the first half of 2018 amounted to 779 million euros compared to first half 2017, 793 million euros. Both indicators for half one 2018 are 1.6% and 1.8%, respectively lower compared to 2017. The minor decline in performance is primarily related to the fact that 2018 was slightly warmer than 2017. Free cash flow generated in the first half of 2018 reached 606 million euros, which is a fall of 1.1% compared to 2017. Again, the minor drop is driven by a milder 2018 compared to 2017. We also disclose for you in this presentation the last 12 months historical consolidated results. EPIF Group for consolidated sales for 12 months ended June 2018 reached 3.078 billion euros compared to 2017, 12 months of 3.1 billion euros. Adjusted EBITDA for the 12 months ended H1 2018 amounted to euros 1,454 million. This compares to euros 1,468 million for the 12 months ended December 2017. Both indicators for the last 12 months ended June 2018 being 1% lower compared to 2017, and we should refer you to a slightly warmer 2018 than 2017. We also disclose for you the proportionate net debt as at 30th of June 2018, which amounted to 3,418 million euros compared to a comparative at the end of December 2017 of 3,597 million euros. We also disclose for you the proportionate net leverage ratio as at 30th of June 2018 stood at 4.25. If we look at the group operationally, the structure has not changed. EP Infrastructure continues to be owned by two main core shareholders, the EPH Group, who owns 69%, and Macquarie with 31%, who invested through their MEIF5 structure. The structure of the opcos remain the same with the four key divisions. We'd also like to point out that the vast majority of our businesses are based in Slovakia and the Czech Republic. Slovakia remains A+ with S&P Fitch and A2 with Moody's, and the Czech Republic remains AA- with S&P Fitch and A1 with Moody's. We'd like to point out as well that both Slovakia and Czech Republic continue to experience strong growth and would be considered to be highly stable with low unemployment and relatively low debt to GDP levels. in financial summaries, adjusted EBITDA, as already mentioned, for 12 months ended June 18, was €1,454 million. The 12 months ended December 17 was €1,468 million. And the 12 months ended December 2016 was €1,458 million. Cash generation in those 12-month period, 2018, 1.29, 2017, 1.32, 2016, €1.26 billion. Cash conversion, 12 months ended June 2008, our cash conversion, which is EBITDA less CAPEX, was 89%. The 12 months ended December 2017 was 90%. And the 12 months ended December 2016 was 87%. There were no material changes to the group structure. We'd also like to look at the four main divisions. We continue to have a large and diversified portfolio of strategically important infrastructure assets. The assets operate under a stable regulatory environment and have and or long-term contracts. If we look at our primary division, which is gas transmission, we've outlined for you EBITDA, cash conversion, and KPIs. Gas transmission business achieves an adjusted EBITDA in the 12 months ended June 18 of €662 million, compared to the 12 months ended December 2017 of €664 million. Cash conversion 18, 96%. Cash conversion 17, 98%. In our gas and power distribution unit, EBITDA was €499 million in the H1 2018, compared to €510 million. This again was predominantly due to a warmer 2018-17. Cash conversion for the gas and power distribution was 84% for June 2018 and 85% for December 2017. If we go to our heat distribution, distribution business, we achieved EBITDA to H1 2018 of €151 million, compared to the 12 months 2017 of €157 million. Cash conversion to June 18, 66%. Cash conversion to December 2017, 69%. In our gas storage, we achieved 12 months ended June 2018, €149 million. Compared to 12 months ended December 2017 of €144 million. The cash conversion for both periods in our storage division remains at 97%. In total, the EPIF group achieved for the 12 months ended 2018 EBITDA adjusted of €1,454 million, compared to 12 months ended December 2017 of €1,468 million. Cash conversion to June 18 was 89%. Cash conversion to the end of 2017 was 90%. I think in summary, a very stable and comparable performance through 17 and into the first half of 2018. I'd like now to hand over to Philip Belak, Finance Director of EPIF, who will talk you through a little bit more detail on the breakdown of the H1 2018 results.
Great. Thank you, Gareth. So if we might have a look at slide number 9, I would like to brief you basically on the development in EBITDA half year 2018 as compared to half year 2017. I would like you for now focus on core operations, which is basically represented by adjusted EBITDA, where in H1 2017, EPI group reached €793 million as compared to H1 2018, where the indicator was slightly lower by €14 million or 2%, reaching 779 million euro. What you can see is basically development in each particular segment. As we were explaining before, the half year was very, very comparable to the prior period, only with one exception, which was, let's say, warmer winter 2017, which caused basically all of the operational driven matrices to be slightly lower in 2018. Particularly, if you do have a look at transmission business, we have noted that basically Ustream, which is representing the transmission business, has ship or pay contracts, so it's regulated asset with very high visibility as for the cash flows. What we have experienced in 2018 was slightly lower gas transmission, which is basically not that much relevant for the business because of the ship or pay contracts. So we can see only a very minor decrease of 2 million euro, which is, I would say, rather like rounding difference than anything else. As for the storage business, we can see two factors which were driving H1 2018 results. One being the fact that Posagas, a subsidiary that SPPI Group had before in the books as an associate, became fully consolidated and fully controlled entity at the end of December 2017, which basically means that in H1 2018, Posagas was firstly fully consolidated into the results, which we can see as an increment of 6 million euro. And then basically the remnant is the rest of the operation. So again, like very contracted, very stable business, primarily due to the fact that again storage operations do have in place long-term contracts, which are significantly looking forward. So therefore there is not much to be expecting in terms of the performance. If we do have a look at heat infrastructure business. Again, there is one of operations, or let's say transaction, that happened in H1 2017. Particularly, what happened, Praská Teplárenská disposed some of its unused real estate and land plots in the area of Prague, which was then translated to a gain of 7 million euro. This gain, as I was saying, was not materializing again in 2018. Therefore, we can see one of difference in there. And then, secondly, the rest of the operations actually experienced quite slight increase in results, particularly 1 million euro, which you might be seeing interesting given the fact that 2018. Was somewhat warmer than 2017, but it's primarily due to the fact that there is a dual pricing system with most of the heat infrastructure customers, meaning that the fixed element of the pricing is quite significant, whereas the variable component that is changing according to the weather is somewhat smaller, so therefore the fluctuations in weather in certain months, is particularly towards the end of H1, do not really affect the results of operations. In terms of distribution and supply segment, the situation was very, very similar. Again, we can see basically two elements driving the results of the segment. If we break it down into gas operations and power distribution operations, we can see that at gas distribution subsegment of the segment, there is a small decline of 8 million euro, which was in this case particularly caused by January 2017, which basically experienced very, very low temperatures, extreme freezing, which was at that time not expected by the shippers. If something like that happens, then the shipper, in order to be able to distribute the required gas volumes, needs to instantaneously book additional capacities at extra cost, which was driving superb result of H1 2017 at gas distribution subsegment. In terms of power distribution, we can see that basically there is no change, 3 million euro, which I would say it's rather timing effect of various factors, not something that would be, let's say, paternal to the operations. So all in all, core operations of the group remained very stable, as said, -1.8% compared to the previous period. So no big surprise, given the fact that all four segments are either contracted or regulated, and basically the stability is something that we would be foreseeing also going forward. Anyway, to complement the picture, what I would like to now focus on are those, non-core matters, which are basically captured in the bridge. One is this so-called system operations tariff effect that you might know also from the previous discussions, particularly on EP Energy results calls, where basically FSD, as a subsidiary of FSE, is in its role of distribution system operator obliged to purchase electricity from renewables at regulated prices, which are typically higher than the market price, and the DSOs in Slovakia are then compensated through system operations tariff that is basically collected from the final electricity consumers. You might remember that as per the current regulation, any negative balance between the DSO's costs and DSOT revenues is basically taken into account when assuming new tariffs, and these gaps are compensated to SSE in next 2 years at the latest, which is the case. At the same time, over the past, there was this gap that was experienced by all distribution companies, which then basically resulted in timing shift of EBITDA between the periods, which is also the case for EPIF, particularly for SSD operations in 2018. So you might be seeing negative development in terms of comparison between H1 2017 and H1 2018. At the same time, we have good news, which is very good indeed. And it's the fact that, as I was saying, this SOT system created a deficit for all the DSOs in the country in Slovakia, not only SSE. And as I was also explaining on other calls, EPIF, together with the other market participants, have been expecting changes in the regulatory environment in a way that no temporary imbalance between the SOT relevant revenues and expenses is further incurred at the distribution company's level, which I am now happy to announce that it looks really good, because in the middle of August, Slovak government approved the legal act that relates to SOP, which is basically amendments to the Slovak Renewable Energy Resources Act, drafted by the Slovak Minister of Economy. Subsequently, what is still needed is the final approval of the act by the Slovak Parliament. We expect this to happen in Q4 2018. If this then happens, then basically it means that all SOP clearing duty will be transferred from the distribution companies, so not only SSD, but also from VSE and ZSE, to the state-owned body. In this case, this body is called OKTE. It's the operator of electricity in Slovakia, and this transfer is to be valid beginning 1st of January 2020. So basically after that, we should be seeing zero PL negative impact in SSD books. And from the accounting and cash flow perspective, we currently expect that the SOP deficit will be recognized on SSD balance sheet in course of 2019. And then conservatively, we expect the settlement of this gap in the course of 2020 and 2021 at the latest. So again, from this perspective, I think very good news, because there is increased clarity over the SOT gap that SSD and also the other distribution companies are recognizing in their either off-balance sheets or on-balance. So moving to point B, you might be seeing that we have included to the bridge a non-cash impairment at Plzeňská Energetika of 10 million. Which basically results from the fact that we as EPIF aim to take active part in consolidation of key infrastructure companies, specifically in the Czech Republic, because we see many opportunities there, and obviously given the fact that we operate the largest fleet of distribution networks in the Czech Republic, we believe that we have great knowledge in that area, and it makes sense to further consolidate this subsegment or segment. So therefore, EPI started commercial negotiations with City of Plzeň, which is one of the largest cities in the Czech Republic, which owns a distribution network in the city of Plzeň, but also our plant, Plzeňská Energetika, is operating rather in commercial relationships than the retail segment. So therefore, for us, we see great opportunities to merge these two companies and basically tap on the synergies and further, let's say, improvement of the relationship in the city of Plzeň. So therefore, the negotiations were started, and as we are willing to take certain non-cash losses, we agreed basically on valuation, which then at the end of the merger will enable us to have 35% and management control on the venture between Plzeňská Energetika and Plzeňská Teplárenská, which basically results from the fact that we are right now recording this non-cash one-off impairment of Plzeňská Energetika in order to be in line with the deal, which we hope to materialize and conclude in October 2018, but we get to it. So this is from the financial perspective. So again, to summarize on this, in the core operations, you do not see anything major. So basically, core operations are really in line, period to period, no variance at all, 1.8%. In terms of non-core business, you can see two elements, one being the SOT, which we believe is sorted out and shall be sorted out legally before the end of 2018, so very good news. And then we see this non-cash one-off impairment at Plzeňská Energetika, which from the greater picture we can see or expect better results of the combined entity with Plzeňská Teplárenská. So having said that, let's have a look at page number 10, where we see the very same breakdown, but for the last 12 months results, so I will not be commenting on this. You can see basically the very same picture. So again, core operations remain stable. Period on period, in this case, we can see very minor drop of 1%. So nothing to be further explained here, I think. Well, this nicely brings us to financial profile update. So if you please kindly turn to page number 12. So I'm pleased to say that the capital structure and financial policies of the EPI group remain as previously communicated, meaning that net leverage of the group is well below the dividend lockup threshold of 4.5 times EBITDA. You can see that from the net proportionate leverage perspective, we are operating at 4.25 times EBITDA, which is somewhat lower even than at the end of 2017. And you can see that basically the structure is very similar to what we have been discussing before. So we can say, and again, we confirm that EPIS is committed to maintaining the financial profile that is consistent with investment grade ratings, which we have from all the major rating agencies, S&P, Moody's, and Fitch. And basically, in addition to that, it's very important to say that the group, from the capital structure perspective, is again very consistent with what we were presenting for the end of the year during the roadshows. I will get to that in a minute. And so there is still this agreement on the level of SPPI, SSE, in terms of limitation of net leverage profile to be kept under 2.5 times EBITDA. And very similarly at EP Energy, if you recall, we basically still aim to keep this subgroup of EPIF virtually debt-free after the refinancing or repayment of the bonds that EPE is currently having in the books of 500 million euro. In terms of M&A, and again, this is something that can be basically confirmed by the actions that we do. For example, Plzeňská Teplárenská that I have been talking about previously. We are really only focusing on M&A activities that are consistent with the EPIF's conservative financial policy profile, and clearly all the acquisitions which we are looking at or would be looking at must be falling in the picture in terms of the net leverage and financial policies and obviously business profile of the group. Needless to say, this financial policy of EPIF is supported by both shareholders, be it EPH on one side and MERA on the other side, as Gary was previously explaining. Now, as I was talking about the capital structure, let's maybe have a look at it in a little bit more detail, because I do understand that this was one of the concerns during the roadshows. So for this specific purpose, I have created this slide number 13, where you can see the capital structure overview in terms of presentation of external debt across the whole group, having a look at the individual subholdings of EPIF. So when I was saying, let's have a look at it from the top, when I was saying that EPIF is looking at capital structure of up to 4.5 times EBITDA in terms of net leverage, I can again confirm that at the end of June we were operating at 4.25 times EBITDA, so very much in line with what we were previously communicating to the investors. At the same time, EPIF keeps strong access to all cash flows in the group for various reasons. One being the fact that SPP infrastructure, as one of the subgroups, as I was saying, has in place a shareholder agreement between EPIF and the Slovak state, where all distributions are basically kept at 2.5 times EBITDA. And again, I'm happy to say that basically net leverage of SPPI group remains very constant, as we were discussing before. So around twice EBITDA for the end of June, particularly, you can see that the net leverage of SPPI was 1.6 times EBITDA, which again basically provides the EPI group with really strong access to all cash flows of the group, of SPPI, again reconfirming basically that between SPPI and EPIF there is a short-term depositing agreement in place where basically EPIF can access spare cash of SPPI as well without the need of having the approval from the co-shareholder, in this case SPPS, which is controlled by the Slovak Republic. So no surprises there. In terms of EP Energy, the other subgroup of EP Infrastructure, you can see net leverage June 2018 at 1.65 times EBITDA, which should not be surprising, primarily driven by the fact that EP Energy repaid 600 million of bonds in April 2018. With the remaining 500 of bonds outstanding due beginning of November 2019. Still, I would say that the expectation is to keep EP Energy virtually debt-free, meaning that we will aim to refinance EP Energy bonds at EPIF level if possible. The question is clearly when it must be commercially feasible. So therefore, I would say at the latest beginning of November 2019, when the bonds are due. So having said that, again, I think that it's quite well structured in a way that basically all the cash flows of both subgroups, EP Energy and SPPI. Can make it up to EPIF quite quickly and without any obstacles, as basically all the covenants that are in place, EPIF or at SPPI level, I are by far not touched. In terms of the structure of the debt on EP infrastructure entity level, we were saying that basically the goal would be to have majority of the loans and bonds on EPIF rather than on the operating companies. That is the case, as you might see, basically in terms of the split between holdco, as we call it, as EP infrastructure entity, and operating companies, the share is 60-40, meaning that the majority of the debt is already sitting on EP infrastructure. We will be then further refinancing the EP energy bond of 500, that if you beginning of November 2019, we will be even increasing this percentage to some 70 versus 30% on the operating companies. So basically, I would say no surprises, no changes of plans from that perspective. With that, let's have a look at slide number 14, please, which is just a summarization of steps that EPI has done so far. So basically, I'm pleased to say that EPI have really successfully delivered strategy goals in financing. And I can reconfirm the steps that we were communicating before during the roadshows and various other presentations. So no changes from that perspective. Just to summarize what has actually happened in H1 2018. So on April 20th, 2018, EPI successfully placed its debit international offering of 750 million at 1.659 times fixed rate. These notes are due in 2034. On May the 1st, 2018, EP Energy repaid 598 million euro of bonds using a combination of intercompany loan that was provided by EP Infrastructure to EP Energy and own cash of nearly 350 million euro. So by that, clearly part of the subordination that was existing before the repayment basically was removed. And as a subsequent event, in July 2018, EPIF refinanced its remaining bank loans at the holding level. It was 1.5 billion euro of loans that was refinanced with a goal to extend maturity and optimize interest costs. There are three tranches in this particular refinancing. Tranche A, which is due in 4 years of 750 million euro, the tranche B of 500 million euro that is due in 5 years, and tranche C, which is revolving credit facility up to 250 million euro that is also due in 5 years. I'm happy to say that basically this refinancing was met with great interest of banks and was significantly oversubscribed, and it's a recent transaction US from the end of July. So basically, through the bond issuance and bank loan financing, refinancing at EPIF level, we were clearly able to benefit from the favorable conditions in the international debt market at that time in order to extend our debt maturity profile and at the same time significantly reducing the average cost of our borrowings. On page 15, if you allow me, in a short overview of current situation. For this particular call, we have prepared the situation as of the end of August, so very recent. We are describing the gross debt structure at the EPI group. So looking at top left, you can see the breakdown of the loans between bank and bond. So we can see that the bonds on fully consolidated basis represent some 63% of the overall debt. The figure is very close also to 60% when talking in proportionate terms. In terms of utilization of bank financing, which is the picture on top right, what is most critical in my view is basically the sufficient cash flow cushion, if you allow me, basically of undrawn and available credit facilities that are committed. All in all, at the end of August, we have available credit facilities of 540 million. So again, very, very clear picture of, let's say, cash flow availability at EPIF. Out of those 540 million, approximately 132 million is being available directly at EPIF level, and then additional 100 million directly at EPE level, which can be operated basically, let's say, at will, due to the fact that the covenants of EP Energy are not really even touched, and the favorable position is quite visible from the figures. In terms of debt maturity profile, you can see that the maturity profile is nicely split over the following years, with 2019 EP Energy notes outstanding of approximately 500 million. As said, we currently expect to refinance the bond at EPIF level latest in November 2019, when the bond is due. The remaining approximately 190 million euro is represented by bank loans at NAFTA, which we currently assume to refinance well before its maturity. So from this perspective, I would say nothing alarming. 2019 as expected. The following years are really nicely split in terms of maturities and the various instruments that we are using for financing. In terms of expectations, I can say that we still expect to continue in our strategy of improvement of our maturity profile and financing costs, but at the same time we are not really pushed to do it, because of the fact that 2019, we believe, is quite well covered. Obviously, we keep great attention to, let's say, current pricing of our EPI bond, and I can say, Gary, that we are quite disappointed, obviously, given by the fact that the business segment results are really in line with the expectations and stable.
Yeah.
And, you know, the operations being diversified, there is, in our view, not really too much to worry about, but we see the trading results problematic, or let's say unsatisfying.
Okay. On section four, we have highlighted the key business segment details. Many of you know these details. We can confirm that there has been no significant or material changes to these divisions. What I suggest is that the information is there, and then when we finish the presentation, we'll open up for any questions you might have on these specific divisions. I think it's important to give people the opportunity if they want to ask questions. If we look at page 24, subsequent events, Philip has already detailed in July 2018 that he and the finance team achieved a significant refinancing of our bank loans, which we believe is extremely positive for the business. It was also mentioned on 23rd of August there was a general meeting to approve the merger of Pilsenska Energetica and Pilsenska Teplarenska, which would result in 35% shareholding for EPIF and management control. We believe this is a continuation of our conservative M&A policy to continue to consolidate the heat infra divisions in Czech Republic. On 27th of August, EPIF has declared and paid a dividend of 75 million euros to its shareholders. And to continue the final consolidation of Praska Teplarenska Group, we have started the process of squeezing out the remaining 2%. In summary, therefore, core operations of EPIF, stable, predictable, historical sales, comparable, 12 months ended 18 to 12 months ended December 17, EBITDA, comparable, 12 months ended June 18 to 12 months ended December 17. The major difference that Philip outlined was a SOT renewable movement, where the good news is we have much greater clarity as to how the situation will be resolved. The bad news being that the EBITDA and the cash flow will be realized slightly later. It's not a core business item. The effect is effectively to defer dividends that will be paid to the shareholders in the future. With regards to the half 2018 results, we believe that EPIF has reconfirmed that it has a diversified character of regulated and long-term contracted activities. We continue to operate in a stable and expectable business environment, and we continue to exceed in the conversion of operating profit into cash. The proportionate net leverage ratio at the end of June falls well within the covenants that we outlined in our bond issue and stands at 4.25. The bond issue was extremely successful. We believe EPIF has now benefited from the favorable conditions in the debt capital markets at that time. In addition, Philip has also outlined that EP Energy repaid its first of its two bonds, reducing significantly the leverage at EPE and moving and showing the group continues its inclination to refinance the debt at the holding level. All in all, we would say a good first half, a predictable first half, and ladies and gentlemen, let's now throw it open to maybe detailed questions that you have.
Thank you.
Sarah?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. And when preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. As a reminder, that's star followed by one to ask a question. We currently have no questions registered, so I'll hand back to you, Gary.
Okay, so thank you very much for your time, ladies and gentlemen. Philip and I and the rest of the EPIF management team remain available should you have further questions. We hope that the level of disclosure that we've done for the first half is of interest to you, and it's certainly a level of disclosure perhaps we haven't done before, and therefore we hope that this is extremely useful to you, and please take any opportunity to ask Philip and I and the rest of the management team questions. So I wish you a happy Wednesday evening, and please come back to us in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.